A couple of years ago, I read an article in Forbes magazine. It was written by Rich Karlgaard, and it was called Godly Work. And it was a story about an emergency room nurse that told about an evening and some of the circumstances she had witnessed while working late in the emergency room. And what she said in the article was that she saw some amazing leadership. So she told about one particular story. There was an older doctor, and he would do these surgeries at a moment's notice, but he was also training a young man, a young doctor, of how to learn the process, how to get ready for it, how to deal with all the stress and moving quickly so he could go from one person to the next. So this older doctor and the young man were in the same room that she was that evening. She's filling out her paperwork over in a corner. They didn't even notice her. And so the older doctor began talking to the younger doctor after a surgery, saying, "You did this really well. Keep up this part." And then he mentioned a few items where he can improve. When he got done with that part, he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Did you notice the young housekeeping man that came into the room after us?" And the young doctor kind of gave him that blank stare, like there was somebody else in the room. And so apparently, a young man had come to clean up all the stuff after surgery so they can get the next patient in there. And so the doctor said, "That man's name is Carlos. His wife's name is Maria. He lives three blocks away. Here's the names of his children. Here's their ages. He came from a foreign country about 5 years ago and went through all these facts." And then he said, "I want you to tell me something about him next week that I don't already know." In other words, get to know him. And so it was interesting reading that article, because what he was teaching this older doctor was that every member of the staff, the hospital staff, is important. They're all a part of this family that works together. And he was basically saying they're a part of our team. You need to know them. You need to appreciate them. You need to thank them. And I think that relates to all of us as a church, as members of a body, and how we work together. Whether there's elderly here, there's children here, all different ages, but we're all parts of the body of Christ. And God expects us to work together in unity and harmony. And we could even ask the question, why would the children, if we never get to know them, if we never talk to them, why would they even want to hang around in this church, down the road when they graduate and leave home? If we don't know their name, why would they ever come to us for advice if we're not willing to talk to them? It reminds me of the example of Jesus where he talked about the little children, and the disciples were saying, they're kind of a bother. Don't let them come up and be blessed, etc. And so Christ rebuked the disciples. And then he said, "For of such is the kingdom of God." We need to take that to heart, because what he's saying is these little children are also a part of our family. In fact, all of us are a part of the family, and all of us can do better in our part serving within the family. It's vital to know each other. It's important that we encourage each other, that we serve each other. And God has provided this setting for us, this commanded assembly for us to come together every week. There's many different aspects of it. But today I'll talk a little more about the service aspect, because knowing and serving our brethren is so very important. It actually prepares us for our future positions in the kingdom of God. Please turn with me to Daniel 7 and chapter 4, or verse 14. Daniel 7 and verse 14. We'll take a look at the scriptures to see what's important and what we should consider as far as our role in the coming kingdom of God. And when we think about our lives and how we're to get ready for our future, and then to consider the incredible potential that God has given to each one of us, and that he's planned all this out, so we have to be in line with that. We have to look to that. Daniel 7, verse 14, "Then to him," to Jesus Christ, "was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." Do we see right there the purpose for the future in the kingdom of God? That's one of the things we will all need to be doing. So all peoples, all nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So this is a vital thing that's going to take place and continue on, and we must be ready for that. And so as we picture the future, And we look at this scripture and realize that is one of the roles that will take place in our lives in the kingdom of God, and how important that will be. And we will be serving Jesus Christ. We're told in the Bible that he is the door, he's the way, he's the truth. So we can always look to him. And we can do that forever as we see what our future entails here. Brethren, we have to stop and think that we're in training now. Every day, every choice we make, we're in training. And if we're not ready, why would God invite us into his kingdom? So that's what he's asking us to do with the days he's given us. And today I've entitled this message, Preparing to Serve God Forever. See, this won't be a short-term thing. You know, just because we serve a little bit here and there and go, well, I might serve in the future, I might do this job in the future. No, as we see here, that everyone is going to serve God. So we have to consider the blessings of serving a loving God, a perfect God, a righteous God, a forgiving God. And we can add all these names to that. Think about how joyful God is. We get to serve someone that has all those qualities, and we are able to do it forever. So that serving is a huge part of our future. And we should look ahead to that and prepare for that. Today, I would like to focus that now is the time for us to get ready. Ready to serve. Ready to love and to prepare for all that is coming. So no matter what age you are, if you're still in high school, we should not wait until we graduate to think about serving. If you're in college, you shouldn't wait until, oh, I want to get out of college and my courses and all that, then I'll start serving. Or if you're working a job, don't say, well, I'm going to wait till I retire and then I'll serve. You know, Randy Bell, as I mentioned earlier, he's down to skin and bones, and it's kind of hard to look at him as he was just a month ago. He's lost so much more weight, but he fought to be there, and he fought in the previous years to serve every day, every Sabbath, I should say. He was there week after week, year after year, and he would be there 2 hours before the service even started, setting up, preparing things, doing things. My point is, if he said, I'm going to wait till I retire, and he's only 64. If he waited till he retired, he would have lost his opportunity to serve. So once again, we can't put that off. We should be learning now, and that depends on our health and our age, etc. But we need to do it while we have time. Are we going to be a part of all those nations, all those languages that Daniel writes about that serve God? Are we going to be included with that? Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. For those of you that have gone to try to get a new job, a lot of places require a resume. You know, they want to see what you've done in the past, how you've, you know, handled it, how many years you worked there, what your job responsibilities were. And so how's our resume looking regarding our future job in the kingdom of God? That's our future career. If we envision our future jobs, it should motivate us to gain experience for that, just as all of you wanted experience for the job you were applying for. And so this group here today is our spiritual family. We're a team that needs to be working together, and we can improve. So I'm not saying that we're all doing a poor job. I'm only saying all of us can do better. We can strive to be ready for the kingdom of God instead of putting things off. And as kings, we will govern the people. As priests, we will teach God's laws. Let's notice here in Revelation 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we know the tremendous things that he has done and has been planned out so that we could have the chance to have eternal life. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we think about that, brethren, that he's going to rule over the kings of the earth, we will have the opportunity to have those roles of leadership, to teach people, to help people. God is not only training us to be his sons, but he's preparing us to teach others. So we need to consider, whether we feel qualified or not, God is asking us to get ready to help others. And that'll be a tremendous thing to look forward to. So as we're trained for leadership, trained to be kings and priests, which is really hard to grasp in our minds, we must not be slack concerning the promises that God has written out for us. These apply to each one of us. Are we willing to improve as servant leaders? So not just leaders, but servant leaders. And why do I bring this up? Because it involves our future, to lead like Jesus Christ has led. So it's important for us to think how we serve at work, how we set an example at home, what we do at church, everywhere. Because God is viewing us, he will judge us, others are watching. Notice here in verse 7, just the first part, behold, he is coming. So we know that Christ will return. We know that we don't know when he comes, and so we must be ready. So it's important for us to get prepared and to think about our future job in the short time of life that we've been given, and to be allowing, you know, our training to take place so that we are ready. Brethren, we really need to take it seriously, because those future positions will be given to those who have prepared, those who have applied themselves. They will be based on the character that we build now. So we have to consider how we're doing. And yet we're all creatures of habit, and it's easy to overlook certain areas. It's easy for our vision to get sidetracked a little bit, and we can all do that as human beings. But like that young doctor, you know, he needed to be reminded, like, you need to look at the other people in the room that are helping on the team, that are cleaning up the room so you can get back in there to do a surgery. We have to recognize everyone that's a part of our body, not just some, not just our favorite people to talk to, not just those our age group or have interests similar to us. We have to get to know everyone. And so spiritually, we must also recognize where we're at and ask for God's help to improve, and then listen to his instructions. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 as we dig a little bit deeper into this topic. Matthew 20 and verse 28. So does our vision of the future include serving? Does it include teaching or helping others? Because that's a big part of how we'll start out in the government of God. Matthew 20, verse 28, let's read a few words that Christ spoke here. And we have to recognize, too, as we read this, that the world doesn't give us really good role models in the areas of serving one another. You know, you think about many leaders of various countries, how they lord it over the people. They take advantage of them. They're more so worried about their many palaces and their accumulated wealth. So we need to think about that and consider that even the kings of Israel, that they didn't do too well in leading the people. And yet one day we will lead others. And so we're to look to Jesus Christ in his example. Let's notice what it says here, Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. If only the kings and the leaders of the countries today had this attitude. So he didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What a tremendous example. We know he was perfect. In fact, he served to the point of death. That would be difficult. Not just to serve, but to that point that you're willing to give up your life. So he served to that point, and he was our creator. And then he was willing to die and become our savior. So we have to show our appreciation by imitating what he did to show our respect. Here's a quote from John C. Maxwell. He said this about leaders. Good leaders must communicate vision clearly, creatively, and continually. However, the vision doesn't come alive until the leader models it. So for you and I to be good leaders, we need to live that way. It's so very important. So until a president begins to show the people of his country that he's a humble leader, that he's a considerate leader, a loving leader, until a parent practices those same things and shows the children the right example, it really doesn't move forward like it should. God did it in that way so we can look to Jesus Christ first and foremost, but we're to model that as well. And so it's vital that we know how to serve. That's a requirement for being in the kingdom of God, because that's one of the jobs that we will be given to do. And so Jesus Christ showed us how to serve, and he did it with love. Every single action, every word he did was with love. And so it gives us a vision of how it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God and how we should be preparing for that time. All of us are being trained to be leaders, but we have to remember the type of leader. We're trained to be servant leaders, not just to take advantage of people. And Paul wrote in Ephesians about how all of us need to do our share. And when each one, all those members of the body, come together, it produces growth. So if we want to grow as a body of believers, if we want to grow as a church under the Most High God, under Jesus Christ as the head, we all have to do our share. It's important to consider. So how well do we serve those around us? As a husband, you know, it's easy if you're out working every day and you come home from work, you put in that time, you can be tired. You come home with the idea, I'm done with my work for the day, and the rest is on the rest of the family to wait on you, to fix your dinner, to do whatever. We have to be careful of our attitude from that. Or on the other hand, as a husband, we can say, can I help with something at home here? I've worked there, but I'm going to do more. And this applies to both mates, but I bring up the husbands first. As parents, do we recognize the great influence that we have on those around us, our children, our grandchildren, everyone? Do we take notice that they need love, that they, our children need stability? Do we take the time to play with them? I mean, today, there's all these devices that are supposed to speed up our time, but sometimes they take away our time, and we seem to even have less time to spend with others. As a coworker or as a student, we have to consider how we're serving. Because when we realize it, everybody's watching us. Everybody's watching one another. And they see whether we're selfish or whether we're loving and giving and caring. People notice that. And we know also that our Father and Jesus Christ are watching us, everything we do. And of course, they will judge us. And would they want us to rule over their cities? That they say, here, take care of these cities and rule with, you know, that servant attitude. So here in Matthew 20, verse 28, you know, the mother of James and the mother of John is asking Jesus if her sons can sit at the right hand in the kingdom. And the other disciples are upset with that, like, you know, how dare you ask that question? We're here too. We want positions. Let's look at verse 25. Go back up a few verses. It says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. So, beautiful guidelines given here that we can follow. And the word servant here in this verse is the Greek word diakonos, meaning an attendant, or like a waiter. So if you go into a restaurant, someone comes and waits on you. This is the type of attitude that God is saying we need to have to others. You're willing to say, this isn't beneath me. I can come and wait on your table. I can clean up your dishes. That no job should be beneath us. And so Christ is saying to become great, we must learn to serve, which in a sense seems to diminish our leadership role. But God says that's how you learn it. That's the way you apply it. And as I mentioned earlier, many leaders forget that. They don't want to have that position of service. They just want to lead and command people what to do. Verse 27, Christ continues with, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. The word here, doulos, meaning a bondservant. So are we willing to have that view of ourselves, to be under people? The meaning of that, one of the meanings of that, is one who is frequently in subjection. In other words, somebody that's willing to be under you and to serve you and to help you. So, brethren, we know that God owns us. He made us. He created us. He directs us. And we're his bondservants. And he set the perfect example by sending Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live that way of life. I'll just refer to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. There it says, he who says he abides in Christ ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So do we look carefully to the examples, to the words written in the Bible to follow that? so that we're imitating him in the area of service. You know, if we say we have a relationship with others, if we say we're a Christian, that doesn't mean we can just do anything we want. We have to follow the laws of God. And the best way to do that is follow the example of Christ. And you think about how he spent time with the children. He talked to the Samaritan woman. He was willing to do things that most people say, well, I don't think he would ever spend time doing that. But he wasn't a respecter of people. He was willing to talk with everyone and be a light to them. And for us, it's easy to be stuck in a comfort zone where, well, that's beneath me, or I'm not able to do that, or I don't want to do that. And yet we need to look for areas where we can help, where we can serve others. And you all have abilities. We all have abilities to help, depending on our age and our health, our abilities. And so if we're to walk as Jesus Christ did, and we have to remember that he came to serve. So we need to improve on that. We need to examine ourselves to see where we stand on that. Let's stay in the Gospels. We'll go to John chapter 13. John 13 and verse 12. John 13, verse 12. As Jesus was observing his last Passover, he gave us an example that we should really think about and follow. Let's read a few verses here, starting in verse 12. So when Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." So how many leaders today around the world would be willing to wash the feet of another? Most of them would say, that's beneath me. Why would I do that? They're here to serve me. And yet here Jesus Christ, as the greatest individual that ever walked the earth, was willing to do this, showing us how to live our life. He was willing to serve in every area. He focused on helping those around him. And so the majority that serve today, you know, a lot of times, even in the church, the people I see that serve the most are the older generation. That 20% group does 80% of the work. And I don't know, I think I found that true of different places, different congregations. And so we need to think about that as we go forward, that am I doing my part, no matter what age we are? Because the bigger question is, will we be ready to serve in the kingdom of God? Or if it comes sooner than I think, will God count me worthy to enter that kingdom, to be changed into a spiritual son or daughter of God and to serve him forever? And he might say, well, I don't think you'll serve me properly because in this life, you didn't take the opportunities that were before you. You didn't step up and try to do that. So many men of faith, many women of faith that are mentioned in the Bible, they call themselves servants. Servants of God. Do we view ourselves as that? Let me just refer to a few here. First one I'll refer to is 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10. Notice what Samuel says. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." So look at his attitude. Do we view ourselves in that way? He recognized his position. He's basically saying, God, I'm under your authority. Whatever you say, I will do. He was submissive. And he was really, in doing that, was preparing for his future in the kingdom of God. Another quick example, I'll just refer to Daniel 6 and verse 20. There it says, "And when the king came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke to Daniel, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" So in this example, the king noticed. He noticed Daniel was a servant of God. So would others, would our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, would they notice that we're a servant of God? This king noticed it. Do we pitch in and help where we can? So I can ask, and we have to think about this individually, how do others view us? Would they say I'm a good servant? Am I a decent helper? Are we on time? Or do negative items come to mind when they think of us as a servant? You know, are we friendly? Are we helpful? Here's a quote by Leila Akida. She said, "We are endowed with different kinds of gifts for different kinds of services." So think how we're all individually made. We all look different. We have different abilities. God gives us those. And instead of saying, "Oh, I wish I had that ability. I wish I had that gift," we need to work with what God's given us. We need to test it. We need to try it. We need to serve using those abilities. And sometimes we may get tired of opening the building or setting up the stage. And I'm just referring more to the church setting. We can apply this in any area of our lives. But, you know, maybe somebody says, "Well, it's getting old to be a greeter," but we're learning how to serve. Even jobs that we might consider like picking up songbooks or picking up some trash you saw. Together, once again, as many members, we need to work together under Jesus Christ. And so these jobs are an opportunity for each one of us to prepare for our future. And we need to think about how we're doing in that. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. So most of us are familiar with the parable of the talents, where it says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. So if you consider that, and this individual leaves and puts the master puts his servant in charge to develop things, to run things, to handle his affairs, he expects growth. And when he comes back, you know, if this represents Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he'll either say, "Well done, you did a good job," or, you know, "Shame on you, you didn't do one," or "You wicked and lazy servant," as it says here. So Jesus Christ will return, and we know that he expects us to be developing and growing while he's awaiting the time for the Father to send him down to this earth. So he expects us to use the talents we have, the gifts we have, the spirit that he's endowed us with. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Verse 35, Christ says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." And so we could read a few more things there, but we get the point that Jesus is saying that if you did these things to others, if you served people, it was the same as serving him. Let's drop down to verse 40. "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So as we serve those around us, whether in the congregation or in our community, Christ looks at it differently than most kings would. He looks at it in a way of helping us as children, preparing us for the future. And he wants us to consider that. So we're going to be judged on the type of servants that we are or have been. He's looking. He gives us opportunities. And we all have different abilities. But he does require that we use them. So that takes effort. It takes thinking about, what is my ability? What do I have time for? How can I step out and serve in a better way? And we know that we've all let down at times, and yet God is saying here, and he's encouraging us to do better going forward, to make a greater effort. So there are different ways to serve. If we mention the elderly quickly, you think about it. I mean, at a certain age, your health may not be as well. You might move slower. You might not have as much balance, have all these things, but no matter what age group we are, there's different ways to serve. So for an elderly person, it might be, you know, instead of lifting something heavy, it might be offering encouraging words, sharing experiences and how to handle certain things in life. It might be sending a card, offering up more prayers. It might be talking to the youth, things that sometimes we don't all do. As kids, you know, serving, it could be, doesn't take much to stand and greet. And I'm not putting that job down, but it, you want a friendly face and you want to say hi. You have to get here a little early, so it is a service. So kids can do that, or pick up songbooks, or to offer to help when we have a potluck or a coffee bar. Like, what can I help with? What can I put away? There's all kinds of things every age group, and I won't go into all the groups, but all of us should think of ways to better serve so that we're imitating Jesus Christ. Turn with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll look at verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Here David instructs his son Solomon, and he wants to guide him in how to serve. So something that we as parents want to do with our children, to pass on that knowledge. So 1 Chronicles 28, we'll just read verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So two aspects that are mentioned here that we should take to heart. He says that we serve, but the two ways are, one was a loyal heart and the other was a willing mind. So let me offer a few synonyms of the word loyal. It can mean, similar words would be faithful, dependable, reliable, or trustworthy, devoted. And there's more, but that gives you an idea of the type of heart that God wants us to have. And so Jesus Christ had these qualities. So we can ask, are we dependable when we serve, when we help out, when a job is given to us? Now, the other point that King David makes is to be willing to serve, you know, to have that willing mind. In other words, we shouldn't hold back when an opportunity comes, like, oh, if nobody steps forward, well, then maybe I will. No, why couldn't we be the first one, no matter whether there's one other person, no other people, or 100 people offer to do that job? We need to be willing. And so our understanding of serving changes greatly as we become parents. Because when you think about when you have a little one, and they come along, your whole life changes. And pretty soon, you're not sleeping as well at night, you know, feeding a baby, changing a diaper. When you're deep in sleep, that's not easy to do. So you start to learn to serve. And what's really hard at times is that the little baby doesn't even know you're serving them. And so God wants us, he gives us these opportunities to learn throughout life, and we have to think about that. And then as the child grows, you still serve them because they answer the questions. Why this? Why that? Or don't do that. I remember telling my kids, you know, they come in from playing, they had dirty hands, and they put their hands on the wall. I go, don't do that. Oh, okay. Next second. And just out of habit. So we're continually reminding them about do this, don't do that, guidance and direction. But we learn how to serve. And it's on a physical level, that's preparing us for the kingdom of God as well. But then there's the spiritual level that we need to really think about. Are we developing our servant qualities that God has endowed us with to practice on and expand? Are we willing to serve? Let's turn next to Luke 17 and verse 7. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. So as we serve those around us, we have to look for ways to be able to step out and to try different things. It's not easy at times. Here in Luke 17, verse 7, brethren, it's not always easy to volunteer, but God is telling us our lives need to be filled with service. So we have to ask ourselves, are we getting ready? Are we looking forward to our jobs in the kingdom of God? Luke 17, we'll read verses 7 through 10. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So when we think about, you know, thousands of years ago and the various ways that servants were treated, that we can begin to understand this. Verse 10, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So, brethren, we need to think about that angle, not the like, oh, I did a little bit. Wow, I'm doing great. No, most of the things God just requires of us, and he wants us to continue to grow with. As Christians, to understand our duty is a learning process. It takes time to develop that. And we know it's our duty to worship God. It's our duty to attend Sabbath services. We're commanded to assemble here. So we know those basic laws that we're commanded to do, but we're still considered unprofitable servants. So we have to look for ways to go even beyond that. And we all struggle because it's hard to change our habits, isn't it? You know, depending on my habits, your habits, for us, it's easier or harder in different things that we try. You know, for one thing, it might be easier for you, harder for me. So we have to look at that and to continue to remember that God will help us with our weaknesses, that he will help me to serve in some ways that are difficult for me. He will help you in the ways that are not so easy for you. Let's notice verse 14. I'm sorry, let's go to Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 first. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. So here we see that there's different ways we can serve, and one of them is to put our heart into it, and we can demonstrate our love to others by the way we serve. So let's notice here a few words given in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So the word, excuse me. The word serve here, one of the meanings means to work. So it takes effort to serve. And how much exertion do we put into serving God? Because he tells us here to serve him mightily. So that needs to be an outlook that we could have when we apply to anyone we serve. And so we see several qualities there about obeying the commandments or loving God, but we're to serve with all of our heart. So if there's an attitude that goes behind the service that we're to apply, and we're being taught how to prepare to serve our supreme ruler, not just for a short while, but forever. So it's important for us to learn these lessons. Verse 14 continues with, so when we follow these things properly, it says, then I will give you the rain for your land and its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So serving is important, but we have a warning here not to serve the wrong things, such as other gods. And we know today that can be anything that takes our focus off of God, and we put too much attention on that in place of God or in front of God. So we need to be careful in what we worship. Verse 18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now this next part affects the parents and the children. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So God wants this way of service to be passed along. And we do that by training our children. And once again, as we read that quote earlier, you know, the best way to do that is by your example. So if we're doing that and then they see it, that will have more impact than just telling them to do it. Let's turn next to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. As we look at a few other scriptures that tie in with this, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. So we'll consider here a few other qualities that servants should have. And so Paul reminds Timothy of this, and in verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, it says, "And a servant of the Lord," so we should put ourselves right in there. You know, this is what we're to be, servants of God first and foremost. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." And then it goes on. But we need to think about the qualities that God is giving us so that we're ready for the kingdom of God. And there's so many people today that might think of themselves as servants, but they don't apply these rules. So we should be working on these items. As it mentions in Proverbs 20, verse 3, I'll just read that and refer to it. "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." So we have to be careful, because right here, as a servant, we're told not to quarrel. And it's so easy to do that, to have a difference of opinion in a matter of seconds that can come out. Verse 23, it reads, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." So as true servants of God, we really need to be careful with our words, to think about what we're going to say before we say it. And then two other characteristics that were mentioned there in verse 24 was to be gentle and patient. Two of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit that we're already, God is willing to endow us with that when we have His Holy Spirit working in us. And He's asking us to grow in that. And that's how He treats us, in a gentle and patient way. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. Acts chapter 2 and verse, I guess, verse 42, actually. "So after Peter had given his sermon on the day of Pentecost, the church began to grow. Members were growing closer to one another." And let's just pick up a few of the things that were mentioned here. Acts 2, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So earlier I brought up about the doctor and how he was mentoring the younger man to notice those around him, to be inclusive of the whole team, not just some. And so if we don't know our church family, how can we serve them? How can we appreciate them? How can we help them? How can we encourage them? How can we pray for them as well if we don't know them? And that's what that older doctor was mentioning. And so I want to focus for a moment on the fellowship part as we think about the importance of serving. The word fellowship means a partnership, or literally participation. It means to communicate or to distribute things, such as sharing together. So this word has a lot of meaning, but the term is all about getting to know the whole family, about showing love to one another, about serving each other. And so as we fellowship, it gives us an opportunity to listen to each other, to learn about their life. We can gain from their experiences, or we can hear about their hardships and pray for them. There's so much that we can learn from that. Excuse me. And so God is teaching us, even at these very Sabbath services, among other things, His words, He's teaching us about this connection, about growing closer to each other and learning to serve each other. And fellowship has an important aspect in that. Let's look at verse 46 here in Acts chapter 2. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now you think about in the millennium, God is going to set us over various cities. We'll be able to serve those people, teach them, and be setting an example to them. And so look at this gathering here back at that time, and even today as we gather in fellowship, that we have the opportunity to get to know all the members, not just some of them. Brethren, it takes work to come early to services. It takes effort to visit with people, to listen to them. It takes time to volunteer to help someone, to even encourage someone. It takes effort. It takes thinking. It takes planning. This is what God is inviting us to do as children, getting ready to become the children of God. So we can ask ourselves, have we excluded anyone in our midst? Now we can once again take this into families and community, but right here, have we excluded someone that we don't even basically even know their name? We don't know anything about them. And so as that doctor, the older doctor, said to the younger, get to know your brethren. How can you truly love someone you don't even know their first or last name? You don't know anything about them. You don't know their history. God is asking us to do that in a better way. We'll look at a few other scriptures here that tie in with that. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. It talks here some about the fellowship. And we see here how God views this, the importance of that participation and that sharing and coming together. 1 John 1, verse 3. Here the apostles say, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We can see why we want to be like our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, brethren, when we think about these statements, we recognize that we are family. We're spiritual family, combined by God's Spirit, working with us before or after baptism, either in us or working with us. And we have that opportunity to develop this fellowship. And we need to participate. We need to jump in and do things and help out in various ways so that we're all working together. We'll look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Just a few scriptures mentioned throughout the Bible that bring to light the importance of serving and even fellowship in combination with that. You know, years ago, I had a 100-mile drive one way to services. And I didn't always show up as early as I could have. I would maybe show up 15 minutes before, but after driving 2 hours and got two little kids in the back seat, that was my excuse, like, oh, it's not easy, or if it's snowing out. This was in Kansas and then in Colorado. So what I'm getting at is I didn't always get there early enough to help serve. I'd show up 15 minutes before, and that didn't give you really any time to help set up the stage or help with sound or do this or that. It was more so a time to get in, find a seat, use the bathroom, etc., get your kids settled in. And so we have to think about our situation. What can we do? And I look back and I go, I took advantage of that situation. I took it lightly, and I'm the one that suffered from it, because for those years of 7 years in Kansas and 9 years in Colorado, I could have done better in getting there sooner and getting to know the brethren better. And so we have to all look back at our lives and see where we can improve, where we can grow. As it mentions in Hebrews, it says, consider, you know, coming together. And that means to focus your eyes on it. And that's what God is asking us to do, to consider these things. So here in Malachi 3, in verse 16, it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. We'll read verse 17 and 18 as well. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. See, if you think about this word serving, just keeps jumping out at us throughout the scriptures and the importance of it. Just as Jesus Christ came and served us, he's teaching us to do it to others. Now notice, if we do serve him, verse 18, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Brethren, we're going to be judged on this, or are being judged on this, and it's important that we think about whether we're going to be jewels in God's kingdom, whether we're going to be those kings, those sons and daughters, or we're going to be cast out because we go, no, service is for someone else. I'm too busy for that, or I don't want to do that. So service is just simply a way to show love and that we can all improve in it. So in conclusion, brethren, we must be developing the qualities of a servant. You know, we've touched a little bit on being faithful, about obedient, loyal, humble, and there's more attributes, but we need to get to know our spiritual family. We need to include them as a part of our, I mean, we're all family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to encourage each other. We need to serve each other. Secondly, how we serve in this life will determine whether we have eternal life. That's a big statement. And so service should come to mind and consider how we're doing and the privilege that it will be to serve in the family of God, because it will be a way to worship God. It expresses that to God when we do it properly. Let's close with a scripture or two here in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 14. You know, during the Great Tribulation, we're told that a great multitude will be converted. And one of the angels of God asks, who are these individuals? Let's notice what he says here. The answer is given in Revelation 7, verse 14. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the Great Tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So when we think about this explanation for our future, if we want to be a part of the family of God, we need to have that attitude of service. We need to grow in that. And one final scripture later here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. Revelation 22 and verse 3. So, brethren, as you're turning there, just think about our awesome future in the family of God. That's our purpose for existence. That's why we were born, to become a part of the family of God. And as we assemble, as we learn of these things, we see the importance of learning to work together and serve one another. Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of his Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is what we were destined to do. We will serve God for all eternity, but it will be in a right way, with a right attitude. But how we handle it now is preparing us for that, how we look forward to that. Verse 4. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So in order to have this in our lives, in order to really dream about it and think about it, we need to include that opportunity to serve. That's what God is asking us to do. And I know myself, and I'm guessing you as well, we can all do better in that. So our service to God reflects the love, the honor, and the respect that is due to him. So we should think about that as we help others, as we do things. Because we are training for the kingdom of God. We've been invited to grow closer together and to serve with our whole heart. Brethren, as we look at the world around us, we know it will pass away. Things continually are changing. They're not headed in the right direction. We know our physical life will come to an end. That's an absolute. We see that. But if we learn to serve, then our relationship with God and with each other will never end. That's what will go on. That relationship, that beauty, the hope of that. And so as you have an opportunity, serve your family, serve your community, serve your relatives, serve your brethren. And the reason for that is so we can be prepared to serve God forevermore.